You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Chepstow, Newcastle and Nottingham on Tuesday afternoon, Chelmsford and Newton Abbot in the evening, and we'll also have racing over in Ireland from Dundalk as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Yeah, very good, thank you, Mark. Very good indeed.
Good. Another week of classic trials has been and gone. And the Monday jury kind of focuses around those, so we'll get stuck into that to start with, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing. Starting with the first question of this week's Monday jury, the trials are over. Who is now on your shortlist for the Investec Derby? I'll just spin through the betting as well. Golden Horn needs to be supplemented, but we hear he will be. 2-1 at the top of the market. Elm Park is 5-1 with Jack Hobbs. 6s for Zorak. Giovanni Canaletto is 12-1. 14s for Hans Holbein. And 20-1 are bigger prices for the others. The Dante form, obviously a key part of the of the derby betting there. So,
well, yeah, and it looks very strong form, doesn't it? I mean, Elm Park in third with his penalty that he had for his Group 1 win, running a very good race, and he should be better going up further in trip as well, to be fair to him. Jack Hobbs still looking a little bit green. Golden Horn, who done a very good time when he'd won the Fielden at Newmarket, striding out to win comfortably. And to be honest, over the course of that, you know, not only did we learn that I think that they're going to be the leading three, that John F. Kennedy's obviously not straightforward, shall we say. Old Man River didn't do any good. I mean, the front three, as I say, were a long way clear. And then you get into the likes of Hans Holbein, Kilimanjaro, Christopher Marlowe. I mean, well, doesn't really leave you with a lot, does it, to be honest? I think Golden Horn will stay. I've, you know, no real concerns about that. I mean, I know there was concerns there when See the Stars and Ouija Board both won their respective Epsom Classics because they were by Cape Cross, but they stayed fine, and he was very strong at the end. Jack Hobbs was running on well. They all ran really nice races, to be honest, and I thought it was a very good race. And obviously, Zorak is the only other one of any sort of remote interest for the Dermot Weld team. Very impressive when he won the 2000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown back on the 12th of April when he beat Endless Drama. I mean, to be honest, on his pedigree, he's not guaranteed to stay by Shamadal out of a Sadler's Wells mare. It doesn't scream stamina, to be honest, but on the evidence of York, Golden Horn's going to be very hard to beat. Out of those three, I think Elm Park, with a run under his belt, off level weights and going up to a trip, which out of the three horses from the Dante should be most suited by. It wouldn't surprise me if he gave Golden Horn a good run for his money in the Derby itself. Probably ridden a shade more conservatively as well.
Yeah, I would agree. The fact that he's grown over the winter.
Yeah,
he's
a lovely looking horse.
Yeah, I think he might just need a run now to get back into the swing of things. Run perfectly creditably for his first appearance of the season will be better for the step up in trip. I think he's the each way shot to nothing in the race.
Yeah, I would agree, to be honest, Mark. I wouldn't have any arguments with that at all. You got beat first time out last season as well, don't forget, before winning four in a row. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know he was beaten, as I say, 6 lengths by Golden Horn, but he was 13 lengths clear of Nafakar, who was fourth, who's rated 109. And those three are standout horses in the Derby. If one of those three don't win, I'll be very surprised. I mean, John Gotton, to be fair, was talking about going to Ascot with Jack Hobbs, so if he does, Elm Park will shorten a little bit more. So
the noises about Jack Hobbs didn't seem to convince me that he'd even go to Epsom, because they're saying he's a big baby, he's not going to suit the track, the undulations are going to find him out because he's still quite green. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't turn up at Epsom.
No, John Godson's not likely to overface the horses. The problem is, though, obviously, there's only one Derby, isn't there?
Yeah.
And as a three-year-old, that's the only chance you ever get. It's not like in a Gold Cup you think we can miss this year and come back next year for it or whatever, over jumps. Unless they maybe go to Ascot and then think about the Irish Derby for him instead, which would be a more suitable track, the Curra, big flat galloping track, you know, and go that way with him as opposed to the Epsom version.
Yeah, we'll find out. Let's move on anyway. The second question is about the Oaks. Who do you fancy in the Investec Oaks? The market headed by Legatissimo, who's 7-2, 5-1 for Found, 6s for Diamonds and Rubies. Crystal Zvezda is 7-1, 8s for Together Forever. Star of Seville, 9s and 12s or bigger for the others.
Crystal Zvezda is a horse that I fancy for the Oaks now, Mark. I did like Beautiful Romance, but it's been reported that she's not going to get there now, so that rules that out. I mean, Legatissimo is probably a rightful favourite. I thought, you know, she's likely to stay, won the 1,000 guineas and rightly sits at the top of the market. Found, I'm not convinced she will stay. Although she's by Galileo, a damn red Evie didn't see more than a mile, and even that was a bit of a stretch for her. Diamonds and Rubies was impressive at Chester, but it was a weak race, I thought. Very weak race. She did it well, but it was a weak race. I have to say, I thought Together Forever actually ran quite a nice race at York in the Musadora. And I fancy her to reverse the form with Star of Seville. Frankie said that Star of Seville just wasn't doing a lot and in front and holding Together Forever. But I think over a slightly longer trip, I'd fancy Together Forever to maybe reverse the form with Star of Seville. But I was really taken with Crystal Zvezda. A lot of Michael Stout's horses have needed their first run this season. She's from a very good family. They stay the trip very well. She's had a very nice, impressive win in what looked a strong listed race at Newbury. And at the moment, I do like her a lot. And her and Together Forever would be my two at the moment in the Oaks, with preference for Crystal Zvezda.
He's got a nice angle on the Oaks, only Ryan Moore. He could ride any of the top four in the betting, I suppose, if you want to.
He could ride any of the top five, yeah. Legatissimo, Found, Diamonds and Rubies, Together Forever, all Coolmore related. Or he could ride Crystal Zvezda for Sir Michael Stout. So it'd be interesting that, actually, whether with his new deal with Coolmore that he has to ride for them or he can say, no, I'm riding for... it would be interesting.
It would.
But it would be a big signal, I think, if he gets off a 1,000 guineas winner to Ryan Crystal's Vesito. Or one of the others, for that matter.
Yeah, that's actually. What I'm thinking, Interesting. Do Knight of Thunder and Tormor have a chance against Solo and Able Friend at Ascot?
I'd say it was unlikely. I'd be surprised if they could beat them. I mean, obviously, it was a big field, but it wasn't a very deep field for the Lockinch.
No.
Obviously, Knight of Thunder won that outstanding guineas last year, but it's widely, I think, appreciated that he wasn't the best horse who won the race, and he was beaten in a few Group 1s subsequently. Maybe first time out is the time to catch him, like when he won the guineas last year, possibly. They would have to have both shown significant improvement during the winter to match the other two. And based on the form from Newbury, I'm not convinced they have. Good, solid, you know, I mean, well, obviously Knight of Thunder's a dual Group 1 winner, very good, solid Group 1 horse, but I think he's not quite got the same level of class of the other two. I mean, if Able Friend brings anywhere near his best form, he should win easily, to be honest.
All right. Does Telescope strike you as a plausible winner of the King George or the Ark?
Maybe not so much the Ark, but I think he could win the King George. Obviously, showed a liking for Ascot, won the Hardwick there. Very impressive the other day when ridden a bit more conservatively. He beat all Bartha Gruder last year in the King George, so very plausible that he could win. I think that's the big target for him. Having interviewed Harry Herbert from Highclere at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago, he was very keen to sort of point everything towards the King George.
Yeah, I kind of have my reservations after Newmarket. I thought he tends to find one too good too often. But he was very impressive at Newbury.
He was. I think if Ryan Moore could ride the race again at Newmarket, he would win. He would win 9 times out of 10. He was keen early on, and he was kind of left in front, so we thought, well, I'll kick on. And I think that early keenness then just told. I mean, he wasn't stopping at the end. They were well clear of the others. But yeah, that just conspired against him. But he was very impressive at Newbury. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he won the Hardwick again. Whether or not he, again, maybe finds one too good in the King George come the day, we'll see. But of that and the Ark, much prefer him at the King George.
All right. What other horses have caught your eye over the past week or so?
Well, it was a tricky old week, wasn't it? There's so much going on. I mean, I was at Newmarket for 3 days, so I missed some of the action from York. I've only really seen the main stuff. I thought for a three-year-old, Matmu ran a very good race in the Duke of York to finish second on ground that was probably just getting closer to the fast side of good, which probably wouldn't have suited him, to be honest. And they're planning now, which was, I thought it was interesting to run him there, considering that there's a very much enhanced three-year-old program now, to be honest. I know Crystal Svezda's not a quiet horse that have caught my eye, but she was so impressive. I thought the way she tore down the outside, and the horse of Roger Charlton's as well, that won the London Gold Cup time test at Newbury. It's really well bred by Dubawi out of Passage of Time, that Ryan Moore rode in the second colours of Khaled Abdullah. That race has got a habit of throwing up some very good horses. I mean, Roger Charlton's last time he won it was with Al Kazim, which I think sort of kind of tells you what sort of horse he aims at that race. Very, very good race indeed. Yeah, Newbury, I think it was just a good round card, all round good card at Newbury. Sparkplug was quite impressive. The winner of the maiden at Newmarket on Friday, Gretchen. She's got a lovely pedigree, managing to win first time out, related to some very good stayers. Wouldn't surprise me if she ended up in something like the Park Hill later in the season at Doncaster. And she stays well, and that's obviously a restricted group race for fillies. So, yeah, lots of horses, Mark. It's been a really fascinating few days.
It has. The final question of this week's Monday Jory is turning to next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a tip for the Temple Stakes or the big meeting at the Curragh.
Well, the Temple Stakes is going to be all the old boys lining up, I think. Soul Power, Kingsgate Native. It'd be nice if one of those won from a sentimental point of view. G-Force has got to back up what he showed last year as well, I think, a little. And it'd be great if the ground comes up with a bit of cut and we see Mecca's Angel, because she was so impressive in France last week. Likelihood is, though, if it's soft and she runs, we won't see Soul Power. So six of one, half a dozen of the other. Irish 2000 Guineas. I'd be fascinating if they run Bellardo, if it's on the soft side at the Curragh. Obviously leading 2-year-old from last year. Graham was too quick and disappointing. He was at Newbury, to be fair, in the Greenham. But over a mile with some cut in the ground, he may be able to shake up Glen Eagles. I think it'll be an interesting renewal.
Fair enough. Let's leave that there. Let's move on to Tuesday's racing. We'll get Stephen's selections in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going around the tracks on Tuesday, starting at Nottingham in there, 3:30, and this one is a fillies handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-old fillies as well, seven of them in the lineup here. Stephen, who would you like?
The one I like in this race, Mark, is Melodious from the yard of David Ellsworth, and the mount of Ryan Moore in this fillies handicap. It's a very good little race. The yard are in pretty good form. They've had three winners from their last eight runners, including a couple of big races, a speculative bid, of course, winning the Victoria Cup at Ascot last week. And she showed a little bit of form as a two-year-old, but much improved to win a 13-runner maiden here over an extended mile 11 days ago. On pedigree, the extra two furlongs that she gets should really suit her, to be honest. And with the yard in form, the course form, and obviously Ryan Moore, but I think they've got a decent run on the cards. Of the others, I think Triple Dip's got a bit of a stiff task, to be honest. Gone up a lot in the weights, considering that she won a five-runner race at Bath. A total of £8. She's up into a harder race. Serene Beauty, one run, one win for Charlie Appleby. But that race from Wolverhampton has not worked out at all. All of the horses that have run out of that race, which I think is most of them, if not all of them, have all been beaten. Graceland ran a decent race at Chester last week. And Cartier, who won at Kempton at the end of last year, a daughter of Monjeur, she should be better as well going up in trip. And a quick word on El Shade. She won nicely at Wolverhampton first time out, beaten when favourite Lingfield 11 days later, and she's been off since then, so that would suggest that there was something not quite right with her. They've just taken a bit of a pull and are coming back. And I'd be surprised, a daughter of Chamadel, if she wasn't better than a mark of 71, and she'd be the one El Shade that I'm most worried about. But Melodious for me.
Melodious for Stephen there, then. The 3:50 at Newcastle is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the 4-year-olds and older. I suppose we should start here with Tagreeb, Stephen. Two runs, two wins so far.
Indeed, yes. 1/7, 1/8 at Salisbury and Redcar, which were 8 months apart. A couple of fascinating things here. The fact he's trained by Brian Meehan, whose horses generally need their first outing. He managed to win first time out. both as a two-year-old and obviously at Redcar last time. He's also still a colt as well as a four-year-old. He's not been gelded, which interests me because normally they'd be pretty happy just to get rid if they thought it would benefit the horse in the long term. Dan O'Neill won on him at Salisbury, so that's good news as well. And the extra trip going up to 10 furlongs also, I think will suit him, to be honest. And he could be really well handicapped here, Tagrib. And I do think he will be hard to beat. He is going to be the choice of the opposition. Final Countdown has won his last two at Pontefract and Haydock. Again, £6. He's gone up for a neck win at Haydock, which I thought was quite harsh, to be honest, because he was flat out for me there in the closing stages. And I think that might have just pushed him over the edge a little. Rembrandt van Rijn had a little bit of maiden form last year. It was nothing special. He won a little tin pot race at Wolverhampton 24 days ago. He's coming down in trip, which I'm not sure is perfect for him, to be honest. And although his confidence is boosted, I'm just not convinced he's worthy of a rating of 82 on what we've seen of him so far. Also, I'll mention Kanima. I think he's going to be the danger to Tagrib. He's well in with Final Countdown from their meeting at Haydock when Final Countdown won. This horse was just touched off in a driving finish at Nottingham last week. He's also been placed over course and distance this season. And Alan Swinbanks had a very good start to the campaign. His horses have been running pretty well. He's had five winners in the last fortnight, Alan Swinbank. And I think Kanima will be the danger to Tagrib. But if Tagrib's not head and shoulders above these in the long term, I'd be greatly surprised.
Tagrib for Stephen then in the 3.50. The 6.30 at Newton Abbott is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2¾ miles. It's for four-year-olds and older. Eight of them in the lineup here, Stephen, but not too much winning form on offer of late.
No, not a lot at all, to be honest, Mark. Ambien Wood is running here off the same rating as when he won the EBF Finals 3 years ago at Sandown. But he's been very lightly raced since then. He had a couple of long absences. He managed to win a beginner's chase at Worcester, which was a very small affair. Three runs this season have all been really poor, to be honest. He was beaten 52 lengths last at Exeter, fell at Haydock, pulled up at Chepstow. And I mean, you're just guessing really what's going to happen with him. Ustika managed to win a Utoxeter maiden event by a nose, given a mark of 126, which I thought was a little bit harsh, to be honest, for that horse. And he's been disappointing in both his handicaps at Sandown and Haydock, both times ridden by AP. Down £2, blinkered first time, and an easier race, I think, than those two that he's contested, and a better ground as well. We may see a better run, but I just want to hang fire first to see where his level's going to be. My Legal Lady strung some good runs together over a 12-month period between here at Newton Abbott and Aintree and Newbury. Well out of her depth last time out over at Cheltenham in a listed race. This would be much more suitable, but she's 10 years of age, and so I'm a bit worried whether she's going to be good enough against one or two of the others. And Lafton Park would be the same as well. He's a 10-year-old. And he's £6 higher than when he was just beaten at Plumpton last time out. But again, this is, I think, it's a stronger race from him. And although he's improved quite a lot in the last year, at the age of 10, I don't think that can carry on. And then we get to number 2, Raja, who's going to be the choice for Richard Woolacott. First run for this yard when he was only beaten two lengths by Duke of Lucca at Aintree last time in a listed handicap chase. He's well handicapped over hurdles in comparison to his chase form. New yard obviously freshened him up a little with that good run. He's also won here before as well when he was formerly trained in Ireland. And the conditions, I think, will suit him. And so because you're guessing about the others a lot, basically, Ambien Wood, what he's going to show, Ustika, whether his handicap mark is suitable or not, the other two, whether they're good enough. Raja, you know he's good enough, still with a new yard, reverting to hurdles for Richard Woolacott on ground that he likes. Probably there's got less question marks than the others, I would say.
The final race we'll look at is the 7.50 at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older, seven of them in the lineup here. Stephen, we'll start with Royal Flag, who's only had four starts, which is obviously not very many for a five-year-old. Finished third on his debut and then second the other three times. Does he keep bumping into one, or is he getting frustrating? Or?
A bit of both, I think, to be honest, Mark. What I think is interesting, firstly, that you point out, he's only had five starts, and he's only had four starts, I should say. It's interesting that Godolphin are persevering with him because he does seem ripe for a sending off to John Ferguson. But he's really well bred. I think he's related to Farr and other horses. Visored for the first time. Second on his handicap debut at Windsor. And still open, I think. He probably has not been easy for them, obviously, but there's obviously something there, which is why they're carrying on. And so it'd be completely folly to dismiss him, considering as well that he has got the headgear, which may help him. And also, of his four runs so far, his best was on Polytrack at Kempton. So I think coming back onto Polytrack may help him as well at Chelmsford. The opposition, you've got Yul Feingold. Ignore his run 11 days ago at Chester because, A, he's not as good on turf, and B, it was soft turf as well. But he has won twice over course and distance here this year at Chelmsford. He's a much better horse on the artificial surfaces. And Conador and Hayley Turner have teamed up to good effect throughout the course of the winter, really. Boonga Rugita for Peter Charalambos won over course and distance two starts ago. She's won off a mark of 90 on turf. She's off 79 here. And that win on the turf wasn't all that long ago. She was beaten at Brighton last time out in a decent little affair. The yard had won at Newmarket on Friday. And I think she'll run well. I think Chelmsford is a bit of a track that sometimes having experience will help with the surface. Still riding a little bit on the deep side. Again, on the subjects of interesting that they're persevering, Stampede falls into that category as well as for Sir Michael Stout. Having won on handicap debut at Windsor, he was well beaten twice afterwards. One at Redcar in a race he probably should have ran better in. Newmarket, he was well out of his depth, but I thought it was interesting that they tried him in that sort of race anyway. Maybe better with a run under his belt, I'm thinking possibly Stampede. And then we've got Snokian Star, who's absolutely, again, another horse really well handicapped on his best form. He's £6 below his last winning mark in a handicap. Since then, he's won a listed race at Ayr. But since that listed race at Ayr, he's had 9 runs, and all of them have been terrible, except his one run here at Chelmsford on the 28th of March when he was third, and then Joe Fanning rode him. Obviously, Mark Johnson's horses generally have been in good form recently, and this one hasn't, so I'm just wondering if he's going to pop up. Silvestra, if you can get an easy lead, he might be hard to catch on him, and I do think there's a possibility that he's just better than these. And because that one good run was here, I'm going to take a bit of a leap of faith and go with Sinocchian Star.
And we saw Silvestra, D'Souza and Mark Johnson teaming up well at York, didn't we?
Yeah.
Four winners for them.
We did, yeah.
Friday, so... Okay. Let's have a quick summary, Stevie, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Quick summary then, Mark, of Tuesday's selections. At Nottingham in the 3:30, Melodious for David Ellsworth and Ryan Moore. Hopefully stepping up in trip will really bring out the best in her. The same goes for Tagrib in the 3:50 at Newcastle. Unbeaten in two, and I think in the long term will be a much better horse than this field. In the 6:30 at Newt Nabbot, Raji. Second run for Richard Woolacott, having run well at the Aintree Festival last time. He's got less question marks than most. And in the 7:50 at Chelmsford, Sinocchian Star's not been running very well of late, but his one decent run was here. And I'm hoping that he's just better than all of these for the informed Johnston D'Souza combo.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We've got racing from Chepstow, Newcastle and Nottingham on Tuesday afternoon, Chelmsford and Newton Abbott in the evening, and we'll also have some racing from Dundalk in Ireland as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.